Hello, welcome to this video. This video's topic is what constitutes personal data in the research context. After watching this video, your task is to evaluate if your research data includes personal data. First, it's important for you to understand that personal data can mean many different kinds of things. It may be surprising then how extensive the definition of personal data is. To begin with, all data and information related to a living person can be personal data. Personal data is information with which an individual person can be identified. Okay, so all data relating to a person with which the person can be identified. If, for example, you ask physical education teachers about their own exercise habits, the personal data might be occupation, physical activity, and exercise habits. Do you study people? If your research has something to do with studying people, it is likely that your dataset includes some type of personal data. Typical research data that has to do with people and which includes personal data can be, for example, interviews, surveys, observations, and also oral histories, posts and conversations on social media and discussion forums, measurements and tests done on people, and so forth. So, what does personal data mean? For example, direct identifiers such as name or speaking voice. Indirect identifiers such as occupation, education, educational background, or age. So, information indirectly associated with a person, such as occupation, can be personal data too. Personal data is much more than just the name of the research subject or their background information. For example, interviews or answers to survey questions typically contain personal data, or which internet forums someone writes on and what they write about. This means that what you ask from your research subjects influences the type of personal data that your dataset contains. In other words, what do you ask and what does the person answer, and what type of information do they give about themselves? In this picture, we have an excerpt from a transcript of an interview where the interviewee talks about their life situation before their divorce. They mention their occupation, workplace, their spouse's place of study, and the district in which their mother lives. Note that even if you do not collect your data by asking questions directly from people, meaning you do not have research participants per se, your research data may still contain personal data. If, for example, your dataset has been gathered from social media such as internet forums or Instagram. So here's a list of examples of personal data. For example, length of work experience, educational background, age, and so forth. So these are just examples. Note well, there is no exhaustive list. Information on the research subject's friends or other persons related to the research subject, such as information about teacher students, can also constitute personal data. As previously discussed, personal data may consist of direct and indirect identifiers. Direct identifier means that the information is enough for identifying a person, and if you have direct identifiers in your dataset, you also have personal data. If you conduct interviews, you will always have personal data, as speaking voice is a direct identifier. And also note that belonging to a target group by itself may also be personal data. So if you were to study students belonging to your student association, for example, membership of the student association may be personal data. And personal data is not necessarily any secret, intimate, or sensitive information, but instead regular factors such as occupation or educational background can be personal data. And also statements, opinions, experiences, and events may also be personal data. If an interviewee were to speak about something that had happened in their workplace from which other employees could identify who is being spoken about. While some personal data is sensitive and belongs to so-called special categories of personal data, recognize the following special categories: ethnicity, political opinions, religious or philosophical beliefs, trade union membership, sexual orientation or behavior, genetic and biometric data for the purposes of identifying a person and health information. Okay, so when you are evaluating whether your dataset has personal data, the key criteria is whether a person can be identified. Does your data contain information or factors that can be combined and used to deduce a person's identity with reasonable effort? Identification can happen through combining identifiers in the data with each other or with information found from other sources. In other words, if by googling for additional information you would be able to identify them, your dataset has personal data. And also, the entire world does not need to be able to deduce the identity of the research participant. It is enough that their, for example, work colleagues might. Okay, an example. If I only knew that a research participant had studied in the University of Jyväskylä, that would not be enough for identification. But if we combine other indirect identifiers with this information, identification may become possible. For example, if there were indirect identifiers establishing their place of residence, one could find an article on the person in a local newspaper by Googling. Okay, but don't get stuck on whether the participant can be identified, as evaluating it can often be difficult. If your dataset contains personal data, it is typically possible that the person is identifiable, and you should assume that you have personal data and identifiers. Okay, an example. If you were to interview language teachers and your topic was learning tasks used by teachers during the COVID-19 pandemic, your dataset would include personal data such as occupation, speaking voice. If you were to ask about employment experience in years, that would be an identifier. Learning tasks made by the teacher may also constitute an identifier if they had made a unique task that the students could recognize. If you conducted a survey which included background information of the respondents and additionally open-ended answer fields, your data would almost certainly include personal data. Anonymous surveys are possible, but they need to be designed well. If the survey does not have open-ended answer fields and you ask for answers on a scale from 1 to 5 with only a few broad background variables, it may be possible to conduct a survey without personal data. Okay, so when are we not talking about personal data? Fictional characters or deceased persons? If your thesis is a literature review? If your research data consists of news articles? If you study, for example, a politician's public image and use interviews in a current affairs program which you watch from Yle Areena? Okay, so remember that we are talking about whether you are dealing with personal data at any point in your study. You may think that your data is anonymous if the research subjects can't be identified from your final thesis. But please forget this thought, as this is not what the question of personal data is about. It is about if you have personal data in your research data at any point, even if the data were only accessible to you. Anonymization would mean that all personal data would be removed from the dataset, and if there is something you can anonymize, then that means you have personal data. So also think about what you ask about and how. Anticipate what kinds of answers you may receive. So for example, if your research is concerned with well-being at work, you might anticipate that your answers may contain health information. You must anticipate the possibility of special personal data or any personal data being included in your data. Address the issues related to personal data seriously, but you do not need to feel anxious about personal data. Processing of personal data is a normal part of research, and if you follow the instructions and ask for help when necessary and in time, you will be fine.